जयं विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं तिलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा गुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. 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 All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Di Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Ashadi Deshadarine. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं नमां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गम् मामुद्धर भवार्णवाः श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुत्यर्थं भव सागरे गधे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरदस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराद् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयम् तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो त्रत्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुभकं सत्यं परं धीमहि प्रोज्जितकैतवोत्रपरमो मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यनेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तक्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाजुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजम्बदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकाभि काभि काभि नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासां हरिगदो गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् गोपी चरणारविन्द परमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वदालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरदो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमते राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द So, where we stopped last Sunday, we have spoken till verse number 7, isn't it? That's where we stopped. Beginning Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna starts speaking to Uddhava, says to Uddhava, first thing in spiritual life is to follow the process of Varnashramam, from where purity develops inside the heart. When one is pure in the heart, he would see things in a different way in this world. That's what he said. Anyuchyeda Vishuddhalma Dehinam Vishayalpanam. The people who are under sense gratification, who are engaged in material activities, they see this world in one way. And those who have purified themselves, they see this world in a different way. That's the main thing what we have to understand. Those who are addicted to sense, enjoying senses, or who are in the sense gratification, they would see this world as a place of place for sense enjoyment. And those who are purified through the process of karma yoga, they will see this world as a place of misery. Actually, they will understand the true nature of this world. That's why Krishna is saying, first thing is to come to that platform. Anucheda Vishuddhalma. Vishuddhalma means one who has purified himself. Dehinam Vishayalpanam. Compared to Vishayalpanam, those who are addicted to senses. What is the difference is, he says here, Kuneshu Tatodhyanenam Sarvarambha Vibhareyaha. In the second verse. Sarvarambham. Therefore, he will not go into exploiting material nature. He will realize it that trying to exploit this material nature is not a good thing. That's only going to bind him to this world more. Because of his purity, he'll be able to understand this. After that, he spoke about Suptasya Vishayana Logo Dhyayadova Manoyradaha and Nal Magatva Vibhala Tadha Bhedalmadiya Gunaihi. That Krishna is saying that Suptasya Vishayana Lokaha, that whatever lokam, whatever world we experience in our dream state, as much as it's not a real thing, and we come to the vacant state when we realize that what you are experiencing in the dream state was not a real thing in relationship with the vacant state. In relationship with the vacant state, it was not a real thing. That's what is important. It is real also in the sense that you are experiencing all the distress as you have experienced in the vacant state, except that in relationship with the vacant state, you were aware that the experience was not real. Dhyayadova manoryathaha. But as long as we are in that dream state, although in the vacant state, Krishna is saying, nanatmagatvad vipala tadha bhedatmaniya gunaihi, that gunam, three modes of material nature, has created all these different kinds of experiences in this world, and they are also not equally real. This is the point Krishna is making. That so we have to see this, that experiences in the, what generally people say, that the experience in the real world, they say. But real world also, according to Krishna's opinion, is also the three modes of nature. They are also not strictly real. Although it appears to be real. Why? Because our body, mind, senses, they are all active at that time. Therefore, it appears to be real. Otherwise, there is no reality. Having said that, his sister says, Nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam malparate jail. Jijnyasayam sampravrti nadriyat karma chodanam. Krishna saying that after understanding this, one should refrain from pravartakarma. After a certain age in life, it's not possible to continuously perform this pravartakarma. Pravartakarma will not help very much. You should think about the nivrtakarma, how to free yourself from this bondage. So nivrtam karma seveda. Krishna says nivrtakarma should be executed, pravartakarma should be avoided. Pravartam alparatejel. Why? Jijnyasayam sampravarte nadriyel karma chodanam. Even if there is very strong provocations from inside to execute karmam, we should be conscious not to get drawn into it. That's the most important thing. Jijnyasayam sampravarte that nadriyel karma chodanam. Karma chodanam is in everyone. Sometimes you can see people that even when they, after retirement, still they want to continue some karma in this world, some attraction for karma. Why is that? It is not that they are thinking that they are going to improve this world, because they know that their time is also coming to an end. So why do they still do that? That karma chodanam inside, the strong push from inside coming through, because they could not resist themselves from restraining, that they have not practiced spiritual life. That's why this is happening. That instead of executing the old age, instead of using the advanced age in life for advancing on spiritual life, they are tend to use it, still the same material tendencies comes back. So, Nurta Karma Sevena Pratham Alparate Jal Jitnyasayam Sampravarte Nadriyal Karma Chodana. Then, Krishna says, in that situation, one has happened, come to that state, Yamana Bhishnam Seveda. In the next verse, Neyaman Malparekwajil. Yamam and Neyamam has to be one person to approach before approaching a spiritual master who has had these qualities. What is Yamam and Neyamam? Which is explained in the 19th chapter later, what Yamam and Neyamam is. Krishna is saying, Yamana Bhishnam Seveda Neyaman Malparekwajil. Then, Madabityam Gurum Shandam Upasida Madalmagam. Krishna says, one should approach a spiritual master, or one should inquire from a spiritual master, Madhabityam. Madhabityam means one who is self-realized, who has realized Krishna, who has realized Krishna. And that person also, Shandam, he will be peaceful. And he will not have any more lamentations or hankering after anything. Jityasayam, Krishna says, Madhavityam Gurum Shantam Upasita Madhatmakam. He is actually me, Krishna says. He is as good as me because he has realized the truth. Therefore, Krishna says, he is as good as me. Upasita Madhatmakam. He should be seen as good as Krishna because of this reason, that he has realized the truth. Once somebody has realized the truth, then he is as good as Krishna. In that sense, you will not be misled. You will not be distracted from in your spiritual life. Or in other words, you will not be misguided in that way. So therefore, it was spoken in that context that Jnasayam Sampravarte Madhavityam Gurum Shantam Upasita Madhatmakam. Therefore, all those words are very, very important in spiritual life, because they all carry very, very heavy messages to us. So now, after that, he says, Amani Amalsaro Daksha Nurmamo Dradasauhrida Asatvaro Arthajnyasu Anasuyo Amokhavak. so many things. In that verse, Krishna is saying that a person who, before he approaches a spiritual master, if he has developed these qualities, what is mentioned here for a disciple, what are they? Amani. We talked about Amani. What Amani means? Amani Amalsaram. Free from competing each other. Daksha. Expert. Expert in executing karma in such a way that he does not get entangled in that. That's Daksha. Nirmama. No attached mamatum. Mamatum towards anything. Drida Saukhridaha. That he is also extremely friendly his relationship with the spiritual master and with others is also not of duplicity. It's a straightforward and honest. Narmamo drada saukhrada. Asatvaram. Asatvaram means one who does not, who thinks and act. Who thinks and then act without any rush to do things. Arthajinyasu. All the time seeking after the truth. From wherever source one can obtain this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, he is willing to take it from there. Arthajinyasu. That serious inquiry mood, like Parikshit had. Arthajinyasu. Anasuya, free from envy. Amokhavak, man of few, one who holds his word, one who what he says, one who does not deviate from his words. Such qualities, you explained in that verse. We have seen all that. And then we also spoke about Jayavati. Krishna said that that word nirmamatvam, if you remember, in that nirmamatvam Krishna spoke about amanya amalsura daksham nirmama. He said nirmama means how to keep himself disconnected, detached from the from the world, from the family, from the society and everything. How that relationship can be detached, how to break, keep that connection with nirmamatvam, how to act with detachment. In order to do that, Krishna says in the next verse what one should do. That's what he is saying here. Jayabhatya grihakshetra sojana dravinadishu udasina samam pashyam sarveshu artham ivalmanaha. What binds someone to this world very strongly is actually, what is it? These things, what is listed in that verse. Jayabhatya grihakshetra sojana dravinadishu. These are the things which binds us to this world very strongly, isn't it? So, because it is like that, Krishna is saying, udasinam samam pashyan, that we should see those things in a udasina state. Udasin means in a very casual way, not to get too serious about it and think that this is the business of whole life. So, that kind of detachment has to build up. It's equally important for everybody, not only for the householder, even for the mother and for children when they are grown up. They have to develop that detachment in that way, nirmamatvam. Because then it becomes easier, spiritual life becomes easier. Otherwise, spiritual life gets very difficult. If we start loving everyone in this world in the way we love and start developing attachment to everything in this world, Krishna is saying it is difficult. Then the situation is very difficult. Therefore, he says there, Jayabhattu grihakshetra sojana dravinadishu udasina samam pashyan. Why? Why? The reason for that is sarveshu artham ivalmanaha. That strictly speaking, there is only one soul who is present in all these different bodies, present in different forms, appears before us, and actually our attachment is to the form rather than moving on to the one truth which is behind in everything and which is present in everyone. So up to this point, Krishna said certain things about the very basic principles of a spiritual life. Now, Krishna is moving to something much more important. Important in the sense that how does this transmigration or transmission of the spiritual knowledge happens between the spiritual master and the disciple? And that is what is going to be spoken from here onwards. But prior to doing that, as I mentioned before, we have to have a little bit of a basic background of the Vedic tradition. Because tradition is important. Unless you understand the tradition, where this is all coming from, how this has evolved in this way, where it is today, you will appreciate that there was so much work done prior to us. Before we started spiritual life, there were many other people who have executed spiritual life successfully and went back to and self-realized themselves. So there is a tradition which Krishna has created in the Vedic philosophy also, and that tradition has sustained for a very, very, very long time, beginning from the sages. From the sages who has appeared in this world even millions of years before Krishna's appearance. Krishna appeared to us 5,000 years ago as the history shows. But even much before that, millions of years before that, that this tradition has begun. That's why it is called Sanatana Dharma, isn't it? Sanatana Dharma has come from that. It's eternal. It doesn't have any beginning nor an end. It will exist because it exists in the form of knowledge, not in the number of followers. Don't take number of followers as the criteria. Number of followers will come and go. They will change all the time. But the knowledge that has been revealed in through the sages will prevail here in some form, or will always be somebody who is looking for the truth. They'll always be searching after the truth, and they will get realized in that way. That's what it's meant. So there Krishna is saying that. So coming back to that, as I mentioned in the last class, that we have two traditions. One is called Shraudham and the other one is called Smartham. Shruti, what is relationship with Shruti is called Shraudham, and what is relationship with this Smriti is called Smartham. So what is Shruti and what is Smriti? These are the two important things to remember. Shruti means that the knowledge in the Vedas, Vedas are divided into four different sections, as you know. Mentioned Brahmanam, Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyagam, Upanishads. Four stages in the Vedic literature. Depending on Brahmachari, Grahastham, Anaprastham, Sannyasam. Four different varnams. Four different ashramam. And four different varnam, Brahmanam, Kshatriyam, Vaishya, Shudra. Four varnas, four ashramas, and four divisions in the Vedas also. So out of this, the highest knowledge in this is Mantram Brahmanam is referring to Karmagandam. Mantram Brahmanam is referring to Karmagandam. Aranyagam is referring to for preparation for the receiving the highest knowledge. And Upanishads reveal the highest knowledge. Upanishads reveal the highest knowledge. So one who is executing Karmagandam, particularly in reference to Vedic sacrifices and associated activities, all the mantras are mentioned in the Karmaganda section of the Vedas. Then there is the Upasana Kandam, execution of that Karmakandam after purification of that, executing the sadhana to become qualified for the highest, which is the Jnana Kandam. So Karmakandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam, three things are also there in the Vedas. Accordingly, it is divided. So if you understand that the highest knowledge in the Vedic literature is generally is the Upanishads. They came from the sages. Which sages? You will find their names often mentioned in the Bhagavatam here and there, in so many places. Even when Parikshit Maharaj was going to give up Prayopavesham, was going to leave the body, all the sages arrived there, isn't it? Atri, Vasishta, Chevana, Paradvaj, Pippalada, Kanwa, Vishwamitra, Parashuram, all his disciples, all thousands of them, all great personalities, very, very great personalities who were executed spiritual life very powerfully and gone very high in their spiritual position. So these great sages, through them we have received these Upanishads. You will see in every Upanishad, if you take, there are so many sages names mentioned there. One as a student and one as a teacher. One instructing the other. That is how the Upanishad's knowledge has come to us. So Shruti is that knowledge which never changes. You can never change this knowledge. It remains as it is forever. In other words, the sages have come to know if there is one thing that is permanent. Permanent means it exists forever, which doesn't change, is the knowledge about the truth, absolute truth, about the Supreme Personality, Krishna, or God, whichever way you address that, or Brahman, whichever way you call it. That truth which doesn't change, that is what is discussed in Shruti. It never changes. Millions of years ago it was the same, and millions of years from now it will remain the same. or to talk about present changes. Whereas every other knowledge, if you look in this world, you will see it's changing, isn't it? There's always, they say there's a scope for improvement and they keep changing it. Something they will say, either scope for improvement. It's not their fault because Krishna has already said why it is like that, isn't it? He said the body, the mind, these things, body is a product of by nature itself. It is subject to these six changes which happens, isn't it? Shad Parinamam they call it. That means takes birth, grows for some time, have byproducts and stays in that condition, start dwindling, decay and death. It happens six changes for the body. It's meant to. It's created like that, Krishna says. Similarly, the mind also, with hundreds and hundreds of thoughts coming one after the other, it's constantly changing. At no time you can say the mind has stopped functioning. As soon as you wake up in the morning, the mind starts to work. When you go to bed, it stops and then comes up again in the morning. There's a lot of science attached to this mind and the soul, which little bit will come later, we'll discuss at that time. So, anyway, important thing is, Shruti is not that knowledge related to body and the mind. Shruti doesn't touch any of these things. Shruti has only one topic to discuss, only about the soul, nothing but soul. Shruti doesn't want to know anything about else in this world. That is why when we go start studying Shruti, it doesn't make much sense to us. Because we are very much in the bodily level and mental platform. So therefore all the Shruti, knowledge in the Shruti becomes not very makes much sense to us. We start thinking, where is this all coming from? Because of our own state of mind and our consciousness. So whatever it is, so Shruti is that knowledge which doesn't change. It never changes. Under no circumstances it will change. This is the first and very fundamental thing to know about Shruti. Secondly, the sages, they have kept certain values for human life based on their realizations. They have given some value. The first thing they realized was that human life is a very valuable thing. Human life is a very valuable thing. You cannot find anything to compensate for something else in this world for human life. Human life is so precious, they come to this conclusion. Why? Because since this human life has only one goal, and that is self-realization. Realizing the self, or realizing Krishna, you can say, realizing the self. So this conclusion, they have come to it very firmly. So on this basis, they have revealed this knowledge of the Upanishads to us. Upanishad's knowledge is based on these two, three things. Three things basically. Human life is very precious, number one. And human life has no other business except to realize the self. And thirdly, this knowledge never changes. If the knowledge is changing, then that's not knowledge as far as the sages are concerned. We are looking for something which we don't have to again research after that. It's the ultimate thing. After that, you don't have to research anymore after. So, keeping all these things in their mind, they gave us what is known as Shruti. But when Shrutis were revealed to us, they were, because they are so kind and compassionate to us, they understood our position, what type of people we are. They understood that because they have gone through all these things in their own spiritual sadhana. They had to go through all these things. They have gone to much higher level. But because they experienced the difficulties every sadhaka has to go through, what they realized was that we, out of our conditioned state, it is not possible for us to understand the knowledge in the Vedas very easily. We will not be able to understand even what to speak about, even those who have studied Sanskrit and who have learned all the Vedas, even they themselves sometimes struggle to understand what exactly Vedas are saying. That's how complicated, how difficult it is. Many, many Vedic scholars who have studied the Vedas and they have even memorized them, they can recite it for you, but still, if you ask them what exactly the message is, they will find it very difficult to convey this message to us. Because it is kept so confidential in that. And only according to your advancement in spiritual life, you will get a glimpse of that knowledge from the Upanishads. So, these knowing well our situation, they decided that we need to prepare the people for developing an understanding of the Vedic philosophy. So in order to do that, they lay down certain codes and practices for us, which is known as the Smriti. Smriti is that, these codes and practices. So while doing that codes and practices, they also understood that they have to start this from the very early days in life. Even before we get born into this body, the process has to begin. That's how serious they were about it. Imagine that. We think that, oh, we will send a child to the school after 5, isn't it? Up to 5, he can do what he wants. And then we say, we'll send him to school and train him up for 10 or 15 years so that he can come out and start making money. That's how our education is. But sages have planned it much more in advance. They say, even before they were born, you have to start the process so that they can become spiritual. Understanding will come to them. So therefore, all different samskarams or ceremonies and samskar purificatory ceremonies were given to us on the basis of this understanding. Different purificatory ceremonies were given to us so that one follows that at every stage in life, his attraction for material life will go. His attraction for material life will go. And little by little, he will have the control on the mind by which he will get that purity to understand what Shruti and Upanishads are talking about. Otherwise, it's not possible to understand Upanishads. People often buy Upanishads books and then they start reading and that doesn't make head and tail anything. And then they say, oh, this is all doesn't make any sense, they say. How will it make sense? Because the person who is reading is not ready for it. He's just thinking like he went to the college and he read some books, so similarly he can read this book and understand it. That's not the way it is. So unfortunately, that's the way the Upanishads are spoken. So this is the basic difficulty in the understanding the Shastram. So what they have done, as I mentioned before, that the philosophically knowing very well that the situation is very difficult, the great sages, out of their compassion, they have wrote it down. There are so many things they have told us, that realizing the truth is the only business, nothing else. That's the first thing they have spoken to us. Realizing the truth is the only business. So they were serious people. They were not, they didn't take to spiritual life in a casual way. They took it very seriously. They said that realizing the truth is the only business. They had no commitment to commitment to anything else. Their main business was self-realization in life. Imagine people with that commitment to spiritual life. There's nothing else in this world for them. Everything centered around self-realization. Now you know, when you see those personalities, why we are here and they are there. You can understand from that why this difference of seriousness is there in them to such a degree. Yeah. So that is Shruti. That by cultivating the knowledge that has been given to us, Smriti, particularly the intention was that people do not get too much attracted to material life and develop devotion, knowledge and renunciation from this world. If you look back into the history also, you can see these things, that at one time in the Vedic tradition, people were not very much attracted to the worldly life to such a degree. What was unlike today? What is the reason behind it? Because when the samskaram smriti smartha tradition or smriti has pulled away from the world and people were educated in a different way and they started doubting the scriptures. That's where it started. People started doubting the scriptures themselves. They started doubting it. Is this all true? They started thinking. In addition to that, what else has happened? Consumer goods have started coming into the market plenty. And then the banking system started. When the banking system started, what happened? People realized that we can accumulate money more in that way. So when the banks collapses, they don't think these things. These things are not taken into calculations. They push more billions into it, isn't it? Because they think this system is... But imagine a time when there was no banking system like this. People lived a simple life. They were able to live simple. Why? Because in that situation, accumulation of wealth in the way it is today was not possible. Today, although it is, and so much corruption also in the society comes with this. It is unavoidable. The system will bring that. Okay, from the viewpoint of business and industry in the modern world, we may say that how can we function without a bank? How did people function in this world before the banking system started? We don't think that. We are thinking that only through banks we can, no banks we can't live in this world. Human society needs food to eat, not the banks. So anyway, this is off the subject. What I'm saying is this, that the system they have developed was such that the purpose of everything was spiritual advancement. So they say that if you keep your life simple and not attracted by the material life too much, it is possible to understand the thinking of the sages. Otherwise, it is not possible. This was the point they were making. So here you will notice that all these things were brought in. All these things were brought in order to discipline us. In order to discipline us. Living a life without any discipline is not beneficial for spiritual life. Spiritual life means disciplining life, one's own disciplined life. So there it was said that by practicing the smriti, you are just going through that so that you become qualified for Brahmavidya or spiritual knowledge. Brahmavidya means spiritual knowledge. As we said before, earlier in the Ekadasha Skandham, Brahmavalokadishanam Udamava Devaha, that Brahmavalokadishanam will only come if one has developed these things in life. Otherwise, it is very difficult to happen. It's very difficult to happen. This is a practical experience in the world. That how does one become serious in spiritual life? Because of this way of life. This way of life helps that to happen. Then, so therefore we notice that you will see this. Krishna will say this and all the other acharyas will also say exactly the same thing. There is no difference in all these things. So there he says there that Krishna mentioned here, Anuchada Vishuddhalma. How the soul, the person gets purified? Only through these processes. Dehinam Vishayalpanam. Therefore Krishna said, execute Karma Yogam. By executing Karma Yogam. If you execute Karma Yogam, what will happen is Karma Shuddhi will come. Purity of one's own karma will happen. And when one's karma is purified, when one's karma is purified, he will have the chitta shuddhi, purity inside, to understand about spiritual life, about the soul, about the Upanishads knowledge, and also what the spiritual master is talking about. All this understanding will go very deeply inside. Otherwise, it won't penetrate into the heart. It won't penetrate inside. It will become, we are trying to capture everything through our intelligence, and that does not work here. Here, purity inside is more important than anything else. If there is a lot of purity inside, even without much higher intelligence, you will make progress in spiritual life. Because the soul is ready for receiving the message. Soul is ready for receiving the message. So that's what it is saying. That first Krishna said here, that when he mentioned that word, Anuchada Vishuddhalma, what he was saying was, that as soon as you see this develop this purity, what will happen is you will see that this material world is not a very safe place to be here forever. It's not the right place to be. Even that understanding won't come unless there is some purity inside, isn't it? Anicheda Vishuddhalma Dehinam Vishayalpanam. So unless there is purity inside, even that understanding won't come, Krishna is saying there. This is a very important point, that unless there is purity inside, you will not see any, that you will still think that this material world, this material life is not a bad way of life. This thought will not happen. Dukha nyalyokya jandushu alam uditam vivekam koham acharya varyaha. That dukham is all living entities are experiencing distress in this world. But due to our conditioned state, we are thinking that it's not too bad, things can go on like this. After all, it's not too bad. This thinking comes, develops. And that's what he's saying. Because of that, that discrimination won't come to us. What discrimination? That I have to, this is not the right place. Even that thought won't appear in our heart. This is the difficulty. Dukkhanyalokya jandushu alam uditam vivekam koham acharya varyaha. That only when that vivekam or discrimination has come inside, only after that you should approach a spiritual master. Not before that. Because before that if you go, you are not ready. Because you are not been even able to understand this world properly before you start thinking about the next world. Isn't it? So that's why it said, Dukkhanya lokya jandushu alam uditam vivekam koham acharya varyaham. And when you go to the acharya, labdhva tvadrupa tattvam, from the acharya you understand the tattvam, the principle, the spiritual principle of Krishna. Krishna, understand Krishna in the proper way. Not with any misunderstanding what many people get about Krishna consciousness. Labdhva tvadrupa tattvam guna charidagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. If you understand Krishna properly, the proper devotion will also develop in the heart. Otherwise not. If you misunderstand Krishna, all sorts of nonsense you will do in the name of spiritual life. All sorts of nonsense in the name of spiritual life. New car blessing, all kinds of things will go on. This has nothing to do with spiritual life. Krishna is not into this kind of stupid things. This has nothing to do with spiritual life. Labdhva tvadrupa tattvam. Tattvam, what is Krishna? Understand that. That's what Bhagavatam is saying to us. Labdhva tvadrupa tattvam guna charita gadha ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. And then the devotion what builds up inside, that's bhakti. Otherwise not. Otherwise not. Guna charita gadha ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. That guna charita gadha ulbhaval bhakti bhuma is all important. All these words have been selected so precisely that from this, this happens. From that, this happens. It all gradually a process that happens to a person who is seeking the truth. It's for the personality who are speaking, looking for the truth. Not for someone who is satisfying their material life happily. For them, this is all valueless. All this is. So, guna charidagada ulbhaval bhakti bhubaha. So, maya menam taritvam. First you have to cross over the maya, isn't it? To take out the spiritual life seriously, you have to take cross over the maya. Maya menam taritva paramasukhamaye tvalkripa modidahe. This will only by understanding Krishna and receiving Krishna's mercy, all these things will happen. Otherwise it's not going to happen. We'll continue with our plans and understanding on these things. So, anyway, having said that, the qualifications, as he said, is bhakti, jnanam, vayagyam. These three things will come to a person and then the message in Upanishads will all make sense. Otherwise not. When we have these three things, then the message of Upanishads will shine through a person very nicely and you will find it enthusing him. Otherwise not. So that's why it is said here that these are gradual things and therefore a tradition has been set upon that basis. As I mentioned before, that the asakti or attachment to something is so strong in us. And every living entity when he comes to this world, he comes as what is known as agrahajivi. That means he has got a lot of desires in him when he comes to this world. If you simply allow to fulfill the desires all the time, then spiritual life won't be possible. So therefore, they have developed this process whereby they can restrict the desires, bring it down to the minimum and save the time for developing on the spiritual path. This was the goal behind it. So that's how they have set up the system. They have set it up like that. And vairagyam is such a thing won't come easily. As you know, the story I mentioned before also, that Indra had to come here as a hog, isn't it? Indra had to come here as a hog, you know that story, all of you probably have heard that. And due to a curse from a sage, he had to take a body here as a hog. And when that time was over, everyone in the heavenly planets were waiting for Indra to come back. His own wife Indrani was waiting there. So Indra came here, got this body of a hog, And he had a large family. He was not into, hogs are not generally into family planning or anything. They live very nicely and with all opulences, their opulences, whatever that is. And a big, huge family he had, Indra had. So there was a discussion in the heavenly planets. We should ask Indra to come back now. Yes, time is over. So they decided to send Sri Narada Maharshi to Indra and to invite him back to come back to the heavenly planets. So when Narada Maharshi came here and saw Indra in this hog's body with Mrs. Hog and all these so many children all together, Narada Maharshi goes and enjoying nicely in their way in the dirt and the filth what they were enjoying. Narada Maharshi goes to Indra and reminds him, says to Indra that, look Indra, it's now your time is over, you should go back to the to your own abode. Your wife Indrani is waiting there, he says to her. Narada Maharshi says to Indra. Indra says, how can I leave this? He says, look at my beautiful wife, showing Mrs. Hogg. He's saying like this, look at my beautiful wife and these children whom I love so much, they love me so much, and we are all happily having dinner together and enjoying our family life here. I'm not very keen to go back there, he says. This is called asakti. Asakti means deep-rooted attachment inside us, and that won't go away easily. It's very, very hard to break this attachment, even if it is false attachment. Still, it is very hard. That is the nature of the attachment. That's the nature of the attachment. It won't go easily from us. So this has happened to Indra. If it can happen to Indra like this, imagine that how it can strong it is in our mind also, because Indra belongs to our family. He is one among us. And therefore the way Indra's behavior was such that it is spoken that the Indra was finding it difficult to break away. Kapila Maharshi said about this in this way, is that a person who doesn't have discrimination, even if he goes to hell, he will think it is comfortable in the hell. That's the nature of the person who doesn't have discrimination. So this discrimination is the most important thing. It is not easy to build up that discrimination in a person. It has to come through experience in this world, by reflections and by shastram and by association, various ways. It will eventually happen. It's very difficult to break away that attachment to this world. So that Vivekam, one who does not have that discrimination, wherever he goes, he will think that, even if he is suffering, he will say that is the best situation. He will still be comfortable in that. He will think that I'm not too bad. This not too bad will come at that time from him. Then, so many examples in the Shastram, like the camel, when it's eating the Shavidvara Hoshtragare Samsudha Purusha Pashu, in the Bhagavatam beginning, Sudha Goswami will say this. The camel, when it eats the thorn, that's its, it's a kind of a plant which a lot of thorns in that. He eats that. While eating, the thorns hurt all over inside the mouth and a lot of blood comes out. And he's chewing that blood and he's thinking, oh, this is not a bad thing. Its own blood it's drinking and it's thinking it's comfortable while eating this thorn, thorny bushes, whatever that is eating. So that way so many examples are spoken like this. Whatever one is enjoying in this world, one is relishing in this world, thinking that it is good, and bless that to others as well. That is the most interesting thing. We lived a householder life and we have suffered enough. And we want our children, grandchildren all getting married and living in that and suffer through the same thing what we have all done. So this is the way the way things work. Once it so happened, there were two families living next to each other, and in one family there was a old grandmother. She was great grandmother, you can say. She was quite old, 85, 90 maybe. And grandmother, so the one boy who is next door came to see the grandmother to receive her blessings. So the boy paid his obeisances to the grandmother and asked for her blessings, because sometimes people do that, isn't it? Go to the older people to get their blessings. So when the grandmother saw this boy who had come, he was only about 13, 12, 13 years old. Grandmother was quite old, 85, 90, three generations higher. So the way she blessed, she never blessed him or have some devotion or knowledge or renunciation. She blesses him, study well, get all the qualifications, go to America and make a lot of money and come back. This is the blessing the grandmother has given to the child. Grandmother has got the children. They have all gone to America. They never turned and come back and looked at her again. They don't want to see, know about her, what's happening. So already in her children have gone away to America and they never come back from there. Or they never cared about her. And there is a lot of complaints about it already here. Still, she is blessing the children like this. Whether there was any enmity inside, we don't know. But whether she was doing it out of any other previous. But what I'm saying is that even though one is suffering in this world with one's own life, still we want to give the same blessing to others. To suffer like us and go through this again. This is the nature of the world. That they have suffered and and they will bless the same thing to others as well in the same way. That is their that is the nature of the materialistic nature. That is the materialistic nature. They will never, nobody will tell you, oh, study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and bless you that there be, let there be devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, or remember Krishna, or chant the holy name. No. None of these older people will tell you that. They'll bless you like this. Study well, get a lot of degrees and whatever you have to get from there, and go and make a lot of money and live comfortably in this world. This is what they have to bless you. So materialists bless like that. And all of us are also like that. But also we have to say this. For us also, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, spiritual knowledge, bhakti, vairagyam, renunciation, whatever it is, we will say, keep all that things separately. I'll pay you my obeisances, but keep those things separately. Think about that. Are we not like that? And that is the reason why we also get such spiritual masters also, to suit our nature. This is the reason for that. If we are getting spiritual masters also like that, the reason for that is that it is like this. This is the way we are. So important thing is here that Krishna is trying to clear these things from our mind. Misunderstanding. A lot of misunderstanding like this. Therefore he says here that never to take spiritual life very seriously. That's our position. When we talk about all these things, Krishna is talking from Upanishads. Krishna is talking from in Bhagavadam to Uddhava, from Upanishads. And also a lot of important and valuable transcendental instructions Krishna has given to Uddhava. But at the same time, we do not, majority of the people in this world have no value for it. They will say all these things that all this Vedic literature, they only want to keep it at a distance. And if they see you, they may respect you, but at the same time, they don't want to take the message seriously. This is our position. They don't want to take the message very seriously. In the Bhagavadam, this is spoken. Only thing you have to find it out where it is. When Satyavrata Muni saw Malsyam, the fish, he had to glorify Krishna's position as a spiritual master. Krishna as a spiritual master, he is glorified in that. The verses he has used there is that he mentions like this. It's a very interesting verse if you look at it. Achachurandasya yatha grani kridaha tatha janasya avidusho abhudo guru tomarkadrik sarvadrisham samikshano vrido gururna sugadim bhubul sadam. This is the verse. It is in the 8th canto. You can see this in the 8th canto. Achachurandasya yada grani krida tadha janasya avidusho abhudo guru. Once it so happened that
There was a lot of blind people. A lot of blind people. Andha. Andha means blind. So all these blind people, they had a meeting together. They had a meeting together. And in a, they arranged a big hall, the blind people. They arranged a big hall. And they put a notice outside. Those who have got vision, they have no permission to come in. They are not allowed. Those who can see, they are not allowed in. Only blind people are allowed in, they said. So the meeting started inside. And the meeting, the leader who was running the meeting, he said, till now, these people who can see, they were leading us. From now on, we want to stop their monopoly over us. We don't want them to lead us. Why can't we run our own show? They were saying, these blind people together, a group. The leader was giving, talking to them. He's saying to them that till now we were misled by the people who have got eyes. And from now on, we have to stop this. We can manage our own affairs. Why do we need them, those who have got these eyes? So therefore, they strictly forbidden them that they do not interfere in our affairs. We can manage ourselves. And in that process, the leader was saying to them, actually, I have been sent here to take you all through the right path. This blind man is saying, the head of the blind group is saying to them, I have come here to lead you all into the right path. And even in this process, if anything goes wrong, you should not take it very seriously, he says. You shouldn't take it very seriously. So, what will happen to them? So, it is like that, our spiritual life. Achakshurandasa yathagrani kradaha. That blind leading the blind, it becomes at that stage. So, in this world, when we talk about spiritual life, these are important things to keep in mind. So many people take up the role of this spiritual leaders, and often people also who are following do not know where they are leading them. Blind leading the blind, that's what they say in English, isn't it? Blind leading the blind. And exactly the same thing, it's spoken in the Bhagavatam in this way. Ajakshurandasa yadagrani kridaha tadha janasya avidha janasya avidusho abhudo guru. Then Krishna is only, Krishna wants persons who have that qualifications, what Krishna has spoken about a spiritual master, who should take up that responsibility. Otherwise, avidusho abhudo guru, that he will have no knowledge about the things, how to present it to the people, how to teach the science of Krishna consciousness. This will come from that. This will be the result of that. So, unless we also know these things, we can also be easily misled on these things. That's why Krishna is talking about it so strongly. Then Krishna says there that the idea behind it is that nobody should be misled in spiritual life. They should have the proper understanding of spiritual life. Otherwise, it will lead into a lot of difficulties. Even the great acharyas who had, we will talk about them later, who had developed this science in the proper way, they even never said that, I will take you back to the spiritual world. They won't say like that. They will say like that, I also don't know, but I will tell you what previous personalities, before them, what they have done, and I can show you that route to you to go through that. That's all they will say. They will never say, follow me. No, never. Follow me is not their method. They say the Purva Suris, previous personalities in the past, because spiritual life has not started yesterday or day before. It has been going on from time immemorial. Ever since Vedas were here in this world, the sages were there. From then on, spiritual life has begun. And that spiritual life has continued till now through different great souls. And their path is there. We can show you that path, follow that route. That's all they will say. They will not force it upon you, anything. So, what we are saying here is that whatever I have learned, that path I have understood from them, I'll show that path to you. You can also follow in that path. This is why it said like that. There is a in Sanskrit language also, there are so many interesting comments on these things, because we have not heard about them, therefore we don't know about them. Guravo Bhava Sandhi Shishya Vittavahari. That is the first interesting explanation about that. I will explain what it means. Guravo Bhava Sandhi. There are many, many gurus in this world. Now, the next word, it says Shishya Vittavahari. There are two words in there. With and tapam. Vitta means money. Vitta means one who knows the person well. So a guru is such a person who knows Shishavit. Shishavit means one who understands the disciple very well. You should know the disciple very well. Disciple's state of mind, disciple's state of weaknesses and strengths and weaknesses. Everything should be known to the spiritual master. Only then he can instruct him and bring him up in spiritual life. So, therefore, Shishyavit. And what else? Tabahari. He should be able to remove all his misconceptions about material life and distress that coming from that by giving him the proper spiritual understanding. Tapam. Tabahari. So, Shishyavit. Tabahari. Which means the knowledge of the disciple. And tapa means one who is able to alleviate his distress in this material life, in his life in this world. But if you add these two words together, Shishya Vittavahari, what will happen? Vittavahari will become Shishya Vittavahari. What does that mean? Vitta means money. So instead of you understand that Shishya Vittavahari, if you make it Shishya Vittavahari, it means that means the spiritual master whose eye is in the pocket of the disciple. How much can I get out of this man? That Shishya Vittavahari it becomes. Guravo Bhava Sandhi Shishya Vittavahari. It will become like that. So important thing is that in the while qualifications of the spiritual master is spoken, these things Krishna is insisting that this is one of the first thing. He should know that whatever weaknesses a disciple has, he should be able to get him through that. He should be able to get him through that and able to inject the knowledge of the spiritual life into him. That is his first qualification. Secondly, is Krishna saying there, Madhavidyam. Madhavidyam means that he talked about that, that if he has that realization in him, if that is realization in him, then what will happen is that you will escape from this material life. And I will also escape, or he will also escape from this situation. Otherwise not. Otherwise it will continue forever. That's what Madhavidyam is saying here. That so, while talking about this, in the Upanishads everything is spoken in such a way that qualification of the disciple and the spiritual master is given topmost priority. Topmost priority is given for that. If there's something, the knowledge is not being transmitted, or if the realization is not happening, then the only thing you have to blame is it's somewhere something gone wrong with either of them, with either of the persons. So in Upanishad's knowledge, therefore, what they have done is, that Upanishads has given importance to three things. What are they? The knowledge of the soul associated with logic and also your experience. Now, if I say that when you read certain things from the Vedic literature, sometimes it may be difficult to develop that faith in that. Say, for example, we talk about life after death, isn't it? We talk about the life after death. Now, after death, what will happen? We will present, Vedas will present a present to you, in front of you, about the spiritual world. Goilokam, Vaikuntham, all other planets in the spiritual world, isn't it? In all other traditions also, they have some information about the spiritual world. Sometimes it is very difficult for people to develop faith in that straight away. It's very difficult, isn't it? Because then the question will come, suppose if I go to Goloka Vrindavanam, what will I be doing there? This question will naturally come, isn't it? Or if I go to Vaikuntham, what do I do there? What will be my relationship with Krishna? So a lot depends on how much your mind can accept things, isn't it? It's difficult sometimes to take totally accept everything. Although it is there in the Puranas, it's all a reality. Still, it's all a reality. It is in the Vedas, it's in the Puranas, everything. But Upanishad's way is a little different than that. Upanishad's way is a little different. So, what the Acharyas have done, knowing our weakness in our faith and our helpless situation, they understood that they have to talk to us in a language we can follow it through, we can accept it. So, they decided that they picked certain literature from the Vedic literature as authority. Some literature, among the Vedic literature is a vast subject, isn't it? We have so much, tons and tons of literature. But they picked some literature out of them which they wanted to use in presenting the truth to us so that we can accept it without any further questioning. In that process, there is Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and 10 major Upanishads. This is the beginning of that. Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and 10 major Upanishads they have picked. There are total 108 Upanishads, and out of that, they picked 10 major Upanishads. First thing what they did was they picked first 10 major Upanishads from the 108 Upanishads. Which are they? Isha Kenam Katha Prasnam Mundam Mandukya Taituri Aidareyam Brihadaranyam Chandokyam. These are the 10 major Upanishads which were picked from the 108 Upanishads. And those 10 Upanishads, Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram as it's called, which Vedavyasa has compiled, and then Bhagavad Gita. These three things. It's called in the Shastram as Prasthanatrayam. Prasthanatrayam. These three things are called Prasthanatrayam. So, Prasthanatrayam means these three things. Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and these 10 major Upanishads, which I have mentioned, starting with Ishopanishad, Kathopanishad, Kenopanishad, Prashnopanishad, Mundakopanishad, Mandukyopanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, Chandokya Upanishad, Aidareya Upanishad, and Brihadaranya Upanishad. All coming from different sages, talking to different sages. They pick these 10 sages, 10 Upanishads, which establishes the truth in a very, very solid form. All of these 10. If you study even one Upanishad, it's enough, provided you study it in depth. If you study Isha Upanishad properly, it's enough. But all the Upanishads are talking about the same truth, but spoken in a different conversations, in different ways they have presented it. But the truth is the same. And they establish the truth very rigidly, these 10 Upanishads. Brahma Sutram is what Vedavyasa Maharshi has wrote in the form of sutras, aphorisms as they are called, isn't it? In Sutram, there is 555 sutras in the Brahma Sutram altogether. And then there is Bhagavad Gita. So, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and these 10 major Upanishads. With these three, they laid a very solid foundation for Vedic culture. The foundation is very strong on these three things. Prasthanatrayam, the foundation is very, very, very strong. All the Acharyas who have come, they also commented on these three things. You will notice whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they have all picked the same Upanishads, same Brahma Sutram and same Bhagavad Gita. They wrote their commentaries on that. Although they have come with different, philosophically there may be a difference in their position. one follows Advaitam, one follows Vishishtadvaitam, one follows Dvaitam. That may be different. But the basis on which they built their philosophy is the solid foundation of these 10 major Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and Bhagavad Gita. When you want to travel, say when devotees travel from here to say to Vrindavan or to any spiritual journey, as they say, what do? You find the difficulty, isn't it, to eat outside, so you pack food with you. You pack chapatis, you pack sabjis, and you pack some sweets, 3 packets. Similarly, these 3 packets are given to us to go to the next world when we leave this world. It's like that. When you want to go to the next world, you can take these 3 packets with you. Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, and these 10 Upanishads. They are packed and given to us like that. The sages said, take these packets with you, it will be useful to you when you go to the next world. So that is how the foundation was laid for the Vedic tradition, based on Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and the Dashopanishads, the 10 major Upanishads. Having said that, we have seen now that the importance of this, you may ask the question then, where is Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Actually, that question will come, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Please don't have any doubt about it. Bhagavatam is a commentary Vedavyasa Maharshi has written for Brahma Sutram. So Brahma Sutram is taken care of by Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that Bhagavatam has come from all the Vedic literature. I mentioned this before also, that throughout Bhagavatam you can see Puranas are all present there. Ramayanam is there, Mahabharatam is there, and now Ekadasha Skandam is Upanishads. So everything is there, nothing has been left out. So Srimad Bhagavatam is represented in the Prasthanatrayam by Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram is represented by Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you are studying this Prasthanatrayam. Nothing else. That's the main point. You are not missing out anything. You may be thinking that, oh, I have lost a doubt. No, you are not lost out anything. The knowledge is the same. But Krishna, to us, Bhagavatam is important. Why? If you want to study Brahma Sutram, you need personalities who have studied Brahma Sutram well, plus the difficulty in understanding the sutras is very high. But through Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi knowing well our situation, and because of his being considerate to us, he decided to write Srimad Bhagavatam at the end for us to understand the same knowledge what is in the Brahma Sutram and Upanishads presented to us through Srimad Bhagavatam. So studying Srimad Bhagavatam means, therefore sometimes it's also called Prasthana Chatushtayam. Prasthana Chatushtayam means, apart from the instead of Prasthana Trayam, they make a Prasthana Chatushtayam. In other words, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads and Srimad Bhagavatam. They add it up together with that, like that, call it Chatushtayam. So important thing to know is that this is where all this has come, all this has originated. So Upanishads are the knowledge side of the Vedas. Upanishads are the knowledge side of the Vedas. So before we go into further, as you've seen before, Krishna has spoken till now about Nishkama Karma, isn't it? Executing karma without any expectation results. That is the beginning. Shuddhya Nishkama Karmaihi. That Nishkama Karma, when one executes, Shuddhi will come, purity will come to that person. Then what will happen? Pravare Guru Giraha. Then he will find that spiritual master at that time. What will he see when he sees the spiritual master? How does he feel? Twalsarupam param te. You will see him as Krishna is present in front of you to instruct you. If you are not getting that feeling towards that spiritual master, then there is some problem in the relationship. That's what it means. When you see the spiritual master, you have to see there that Krishna is present right in front of you to instruct you in the Twalsarupam param te. His own form, he has come in that form. In other words, that should be the reverence that one has to feel towards the spiritual master. he is not an ordinary person. He is not an ordinary person. He is Krishna has come to you in front. He will not say that I am Krishna, come to see you, to tell you what it is. He will only say I am Krishna's servant. But we have to see him in that way. Krishna has come to tell me through that form, through that body. Tvalsarubam param de. Then what will happen? Shuddham, what he will teach us? Shuddham dehendriyadi vyapagatam akhilav. Akhila vyaptam avedayande. By associating with him, he will shuddhamo dehendriyadi. By association with him, little by little, this knowledge will start building up. What kind of knowledge? Dehendriyadi vyapagatam akhila aptam avedayande. That I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this senses, I am something beyond that. This understanding has to grow by association with the spiritual master. Shuddham dehendriyadi vyabhagadam akhila vyaptam avedayandim. Then what else? Nanatmastaulyakashaditum gunajavabhus sangado adhyaside adhyasidam deim. That afterwards what will happen is Nanatmastaulyakashaditum stauliyam karshyam. That means the body experiences these things, isn't it? So, gross body, it changes. It is changing. Gross body also eventually deteriorates, isn't it? So this stauliyam karshyam is all happening to the body. This understanding will start coming to the disciple by his association with the spiritual master. This is why that relationship is taking you out of this body. It is not easy to get out of this bodily concept of life. We may think, we can tell others, I am not this body, but that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. The saying is one thing, but how much are we in that consciousness? If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the gopi started praying to Krishna to come as their husband, they executed 41 days of Kartyayini Vratam. You mention in the Bhagavatam like that, isn't it? It's a famous pastime earlier in the 10th canto. Do you know why that particular pastime was executed? Do you know why it was mentioned in the Bhagavatam? It was not simply written there, oh, Krishna was messing around with all the young girls and having a good time. Many people read all these things and misunderstand everything. But great acharyas and great devotees, they know very well that Krishna is endeavoring very hard to get us out of this bodily understanding of life. Bodily understanding of life. How quickly we identify with the body. When we came to this world, we had no clothes on, were we? Has anyone come with clothes on in this world when we came to this world? We had nothing. What we had, this naked body. When we leave this body also, do you think about wearing a suit at that time? What will happen at the time of death? Only if you witness somebody dying, you will see at that time, somebody may put some clothes on you so that others may not witness it. Witness your bare, naked body. But for you, will you be concerned about your own body at that time dressing up? So while coming to this world, you are not concerned about your bodily, bodily covering up the body. While leaving this world also, you are not bothered about covering the body. That is how much we are not to be involved with this body. We are different from the body, isn't it? But in the middle between this birth and death, what all we do to keep this body? Imagine that. So it is not easy to get out of this understanding, oh, I am not this body. Although material nature is very bluntly teaching us that while coming to this world we came without clothes. While leaving this world also we leave without clothes. Nobody can do anything about it. Even if you want to put clothes on, you can't put clothes on at that time. You won't even think about that in that direction. At that direct time, the time leaving the body, all you are praying is how quickly I can leave this place. How quickly I can leave this body. Because as Kulashekara Alvar says this, isn't it? That ప్రాణప్రయాణ సమయే కభవాద పితై కంఠావరోధన విధౌ స్మరణం కుతస్తే. ప్రాణప్రయాణ సమయ మీన్స్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాణన్ ట్రయింగ్ టు లీవ్ దిస్ బాడీ, వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్? ప్రాణప్రయాణ సమయే కభవాద పితై కంఠావరోధన విధౌ, మ్యూకస్ విల్ కమ్ అండ్ స్టార్ట్ చోకింగ్. ద బ్రీతింగ్ విల్ గెట్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్. బ్రీతింగ్ విల్ గెట్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్. కంఠావరోధన విధౌ, when all this is happening, will you be saying I am not this body, or will you be thinking how to get out of this body? Smaranam kudaste, how can I remember you? That is what he asked Krishna. So intelligence is this, to think like this, that I am giving so much importance to this body, which is nothing but I have developed some attachment to it in my journey towards the next body. One body I got attracted to that body, and I started taking this body very seriously. It's my body, and this bodily maintenance, everything became very important for us. So what is saying is that kandhavarodhana vidhau smaranam kutasthem, that so in the Upanishads we are talking about this bodily attachment, isn't it? Bodily attachment is such a strong thing. So Upanishad is the pramanam. Pramanam means authority. Upanishads are saying to us that anything what is mentioned in the Shruti or in the Upanishads is authority. We will not accept anything which is outside that. That is the principle. Prasthanatrayam is based on this understanding. Whatever that's been spoken in the Upanishads, Brahmasutram and Bhagavad Gita, that's our authority. We have nothing else to look into. So, on this basis, they have the Vedic tradition has been structured. The tradition has been structured. All the great acharyas, even if you look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did, I don't know whether you have thought about this. Our tradition is called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradayam, isn't it? That's what our tradition is. So even there, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, there was a little difference in the thinking from Madhvacharya's time to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not preach Dvaidam as the way Madhvacharya has preached. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preached Ajindya Bhedabheda Tattvam, where the simultaneously oneness and difference came. But still, Mahaprabhu did not disconnect from the parampara. Still he stayed within the parampara. Same parampara as Madhvacharya's parampara, he stayed within. He would not break away and say, I'll start another parampara. No, he would not do that. What is the reason for that? Reason is this, that Prasthanatrayam was built up already by then, by the previous Acharyas, based on Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and Bhagavad Gita. And that tradition cannot be changed. That has been settled already. And within the framework, Mahaprabhu presented Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, and Krishna consciousness, Krishna Bhakti to the population in that way. So they will not go away from that. That is the framework within that. So therefore, if you take shelter of any of the traditions in this, the chances are you will not get cheated. You'll not get cheated. There are so many different people who are presenting different philosophies in this world. Some people will say that you come and meditate for 10 days in our ashram and you will see the light. They will say like that, isn't it? And there are so many like that. So many new age gurus, as they are called, isn't it? They come with a new idea, new thoughts and everything. There, the risk involved is this, that because their background is not very solid, it has started from that person. He can tomorrow leave everything and go. And then you are in trouble. But the parampara tradition of acharyas is different than that. That even if you don't get self-realized in this life, at least you can take it for granted that you will not be cheated. That is the benefit of sampradayam. Parampara, Acharya Parampara is for this reason, that they have been going on for thousands of years and their authorities have remained the same. They have not deviated from that. The persons, individuals will come and go. And there, the importance is stressed on Shastram more than the person. More than the person. Because why it is so? I will tell you the reason why it is like that. The knowledge in the Shruti, as I mentioned before, is forever. It doesn't change. Sometimes some personalities, they by virtue of their good character in this world, sometimes some personalities come. They will be very, Subhava Shuddhi means they have such an exemplary character, people get attracted to them. Isn't it? People get attracted to some people. Somebody who is very who has got a very sacrificing nature for others. So people get attracted to them. Sometimes you get people who are very religious, dharmic, executing dharma very nicely in this world. You get attracted to that. Some people get attracted to sacrifice. Somebody is making a lot of sacrifice for others. Then people get attracted to that person, isn't it? In that process, if they say something which is not in line with the Shruti, then what we say to them is, we pay our respectful obeisances to you, but all your philosophy we keep it separate. Do you see the point there? Shrutyartham tektua sarvam abhimanam eva. This is the definition of that. Shrutyartham means Shastram, what Shruti says. If you give it up, if the essence of that, if you give it up, even if you may be anybody in this world, doesn't matter who you are, you may have great qualities in you by which people get attracted to you. Sometimes it happens like that. But if he is not following Shruti strictly according to the injunctions, then what then said, we will pay our respects to him, but we will keep his philosophy away. We will not accept the philosophy. Shrutyartham tektva sarvam abhimanam eva. Everything what is not in line with Shruti is coming from his mental speculation, in other words. From his mind something has come. Sometimes you will see this. It has happened throughout the history. Some great sage called Kapila, not the Kapila Maharshi we are talking about in the Bhagavatam. There was another Kapila Maharshi. This Kapila Maharshi was very famous for Nirishwara Sankhyam. He wrote the Nirishwara Sankhyam and there was commentaries on that. He was also a great sage, but he will not agree with the Shruti completely. But he was a very powerful personality. And he wrote his Sankhya philosophy on that basis. So there Acharyas are saying in relationship with that, even if it's Kapila who comes and tells us all these things, maybe you may have not understood under what circumstances Kapila has spoken that, number one. The second possibility is that while speaking those things, he had something from his imagination he has added to it on his own. He may have added something from his imagination into it. In either case, even if it is Kapila Maharshi, even if it is Lord Buddha, if they come and tell us, if it's not agreeing with Shruti, respectful obeisances to Buddha, respectful obeisances to Kapila Maharshi, we will not accept your philosophy. This is how the Vedic tradition is. Shrutyartham tektva sarvam abhimanam eva. That if you don't accept Shruti, Shruti is our backbone, in other words, the very foundation on which Vedas have been structured, Vedic philosophy is structured. So Shruti, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, these three things on which this philosophy of Krishna's given us this valuable tools for us to develop. So in that tradition, even if someone comes and says something, we will say to them, between me and Krishna, please don't stand in the middle. Keep those your philosophies separate. That's the That's how independent it is. It's not something you can... That's why when you follow personalities in this world, you should have the capacity to analyze that person. Is he talking the same thing what is in the Shruti? Or is he talking something different? Sometimes from his bhavana, because you get attracted to that person because of that person's high character, selfless character. There's so many people like that in this world whom you get attracted to. People are even now getting attracted to Obama. They're saying, want to talk about anything else? Everyone is great in this world. So many great personalities will come and go in this world. We can't base our spiritual life on all those people. Even Mahatma Gandhi, Prabhupada used to say he had so many great qualities in him, but knowledge of the Shastra was not there. What can you do? That he was missing there. Therefore, he did not go in the Parampara tradition. And therefore, that is where the difference of opinion was. Mahatma Gandhi's sacrifice for the world, his austerities, his truthfulness is well known, isn't it? The whole world, whole world glorifies him for that. Isn't it? So, all those things are there. We will accept all that. We respect for that. But when it comes to self-realization, no. There, Shruti takes the priority. You won't get self-realized by fighting for independence. That also you have to realize. It's like that. Everything, they all have shown some path to us in this world, in their own way. They had their own missions to execute, that's fine. But if you want to self-realize, for self-realization, you have to take the shelter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads. This is the fundamental principle behind it. Otherwise, you will be misled. You will lose the track. That's why in Upanishads, again and again, they will repeat this point that unless you stay in the rigid path of self-realization, there are so many other things to distract you from here. In this world. Very often, we will notice this also in spiritual life, especially in institutions and everything. You will get attracted to some personality, and then whatever that personality says, you will go along with it. You won't think anything after that. You won't think what he is saying is in line with the Shastram. And that is what the duty of the disciple, that judgment, to judge a person like that. Not like a sheep, but with proper scrutiny, how to analyze things properly. When that's missing, then otherwise spiritual life can... Sometimes so many things have happened like that in the past. There were many, many leaders who were very good in taking others as their followers. They'll go with them without any... But this person, followers, will never think, put any doubt about him. And if somebody says to them, look, are you thinking what you are doing? They get upset with you for what you have said to them. But the sad thing is that the followers, as I mentioned, Bhagavatam itself said, Achakshurandasya Yathagrani Krita, blind leading the blind, it will go like that, the whole masses together. A massive group of people, how they have been misled altogether by the leader and the followers. So that is not acceptable in the Vedic system. Therefore, Vedic system is very flexible that way. You have got checks and balances to do it. It's not that it is simply, we give you Bhagavad Gita, just follow this and tell you. No, it's not like that. Bhagavad Gita is there, what is spoken in the Brahma Sutram is there, what is spoken in the Upanishads is the same from what is spoken in the Brahma Sutram. But Upanishads again, because the knowledge is ever existing, it cannot change. As I mentioned before, it is forever. It doesn't change. And that knowledge is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra, Upanishads. And all the great sages, all the great acharyas, they all hold on to that. That's their main strength. That's where it's coming from. So, what it says here is that, it's another thing. When I say like this, you may think that when I mentioned about Upanishads particularly, I mentioned there like that. If Upanishads are the authority, somebody else will tell me, look, I got Bible as authority. And somebody else will say, I got Quran as authority. If you ask me, am I saying like that because they are saying Quran is, Bible is authority, am I saying Upanishads also in the same way? authority. Or because I am born as a Hindu, I am saying Upanishads are the authority, like you are saying, Christian is saying, Bible is authority. No, it's not like that. There's a difference there. We'll tell you why. In the Upanishads, the interesting thing is that I mentioned three things before. Shruti, that is the knowledge in the Upanishads. Yukti, logic, and Anubhavam, experience. Three things. The knowledge, the logic, and experience. If you study Upanishad seriously, and if you understand it well, you will see that nothing is spoken in the Upanishads which you can deny with logic. That's the most important thing. If you are pure in your consciousness, if you are pure in your, if you have developed that Chitta Shuddhi, the purity in you, and then if you study Upanishads, and if you analyze the statements in Upanishads, there is not one thing in Upanishads which you can deny based on logic. Based on logic, number one. Number two, the other most important thing, everything that is mentioned in the Upanishads, you can experience it here, and this logic will be based on the experience of yourself. This you have to understand very clearly why I am saying this. The logic what Upanishads are putting forward, also Bhagavad Gita, is that logic which is based on the your own experience. For example, when we talked about body, mind, senses, intelligence, false ego, when we spoke about the avastatrayam, avastatrayam means jagrat, swapnam, sushupti, that means waking state, dream state, deep sleep. In all these three states, what is happening to you? The conditions and the way the soul is moving from one thing to another. All these things are based on logic. It's not something that is thrust upon. Only thing is, you have to develop that thought process in you to analyze these things and understand it properly. If you understand it properly, you will see. Because Upanishads don't want to tell you that we will take you somewhere after death to another spiritual world where everything will be wonderful. That spiritual world does exist. Please don't get me wrong. But right now, your mind is not free to accept that. It's finding difficult because a lot of thoughts keeps coming, doubt starts coming. So something which you can accept today, right now, in this frame of mind, and which you can genuinely experience by practicing it here, right now, and accept it on a logical basis, and which is mentioned in the Shastram, that is the Upanishad's knowledge. Shruti, Yukti, Anubhavam. Three things they say. Shruti is the knowledge in the Upanishads. Yukti is the logic. Anubhavam is the experience of it. Now, when we say logic, it should be based on experience. Not that logic I'm talking about. The logic is different types of logic are there, isn't it? For example, say in the material life, in material world, when we talk about logic, we'll say, the birds which come in the morning sometimes here, seagulls, isn't it? The white birds. They are white in color. You go to LA and look at the seagulls there, they are also white in color. You go to Australia and look at the seagulls there, they are also white in color. And because seagulls are white in LA, seagulls are white in Lechmore Heath, seagulls are white in Australia, all seagulls are white. This is one logic, one way of logicizing things, isn't it? That means they are white there, they are white here, they are white there also in Australia. So it must be white everywhere. This is one kind of logic. But this logic is not like that. This logic, what is mentioned in the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita is that if you understand what Krishna is saying and if you take it seriously and if you have developed this proper purity inside to understand that, all depends on how serious we are. You will see that all what Krishna has spoken is right now you can experience what he is saying here in this world even before going to the next spiritual world. That is the beauty of this Krishna consciousness philosophy. That Bhagavad Gita is saying to us something Brahmasutram is saying to us something, Upanishads are saying to us something. And Srimad Bhagavatam has given us all these things in a package to us. So if this is understood properly, and if we have put for logic to it, what Krishna is talking about in the Ekadasha Skandham particularly, you will accept it in reality that it is the truth, which you can realize right now here in this world. That's the beauty of the instructions from Krishna. Going after death, what happens in the next world? Where we will go? What will be our next life? We do not know that today. We have no idea. We try to live up to certain philosophical conclusions, up to certain understanding of spiritual life. But he said, we are not still sure what is going to happen to us in the... Because we are not ourselves sure about the next world, about the spiritual world. We are not sure about... Shastram is saying to us, but we have not grown spiritually enough to accept all that straight away in our mind. So therefore, Upanishads, difference between the Upanishads and all other traditions is this. Whereas others will tell you, when I am talking about the other traditions, will tell you that, okay, this book is saying like this. Upanishads is not saying like that, like other books are saying. That, oh, you follow this and you will get that reward later in the next world. That's how they say that, isn't it? That they'll tell you, if you follow all these things, you'll go to the heavenly planets, you will enjoy there millions of years. All other scriptures I'm talking about, they'll present it like that to you. Upanishad says no. Right now here, if you give your time and develop, give your, seriously, if you pursue this Upanishad's knowledge, you can experience it here, right now. And then you can see what happens after that. This is the difference. So, coming back to this, why I'm saying all these things from now on, Krishna is going to talk about this important thing called the soul. And soul is such a thing that it's all very abstract to us, even right at this moment, what the soul means, isn't it? We still talk about soul, if one exists like that or not, we don't know. If we have doubt about soul itself so much, what can you say about the spiritual world? How doubtful we can be about it, isn't it? We may say that, oh, I agree, we will go there in Goloka Vrindavanam, I'll be a cowherd boy, or I'll be a peacock, and all sorts of things we will say in our immature mind. But it is not easy to... Shastram is telling us this world exists, spiritual world exists, Vaikuntham exists. Upanishad says that very, but at the same time, Upanishads won't push that to you too much. Upanishads won't push that to you at this stage in life. First thing Upanishads is giving importance, that you realize the self here, that you are not this body, you are something different than the body. Having understood that, Brahma Bhuda Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kamkshati Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, that at that point, proper bhakti will come. After that, bhakti will develop in the right way. Right kind of bhakti will develop, and with the result will be that parabhakti, pure devotion, and you will understand that Krishna is behind everything. That realization will come. But before seeing Krishna in other living entities, before seeing Krishna manifesting in the rest of the creation, first we have to see Krishna within ourselves. This is the first thing. This is the first step. That realizing the truth inside, who is present there locally, is even is priority over everything else. Other things will automatically happen when this has happened. The seeing Krishna in other living entities is not an easy thing. It's not a very easy thing. Especially when you have not seen Krishna within yourself. It's not possible to see Krishna in the other living entities. That is why it is said like that. You see, in the Bhagavatam, if you look, in the 7th canto, Saptama Skandam, when Srinarada Maharshi was instructing Prahlada, have you looked at it, how he has instructed him? You should read through those verses in the Bhagavatam. You will find there, first he gave Prahlada the knowledge to realize the self. He himself to realize. Only because of that, Prahlada was able to refuse and to deny everything to Hiranyakashipu. because he was self-realized even before that. So body did not matter to him. Anything was happening to the body, all that punishments what Hiranyakashipu was injecting or forcing upon Prahlada did not bother him. Why? Because for him, the self is not the body anymore. That's gone out of that body, bodily identity. Body, we have two situations in the body. The body, what we normally think is, I am this body, it's called Sharira Bodham, the consciousness that I am this body. Strictly speaking, we don't have any identification with the body. Why I'm saying that is, what we have is, we have a pride over this body. Sharira Abhimanam it's called. Not Sharira Bodham, but Sharira Abhimanam. Why it is said like that is, that in spite of all the bodily activities we do in this world, someone inside is telling us, I am spirit soul. Isn't it? We all know that this body is not what we are. We can experience that in our daily life. You see, as I gave the example, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states. In Jagrat, the body is there, the mind is there, the senses are there, and the soul is there. I am there. In Jagrat, I am there, the body is there, the mind is there, the senses are there, everything is there. I go into the dream state, body is gone. Mind is there, intelligence is there, but not manifesting as such, but mainly mind is there, I am there. I am still there. I went into the deep sleep state, what happened at that time? The body is gone, the mind is gone, senses have gone, I am there. Isn't it? I'm still there. Because if I wasn't there, how would I know when I came back from the deep sleep that I was experiencing happiness in the deep sleep? If I wasn't there, how could I know that? That is the proof to say that in all these three states, I was existing. Which means that I continue to exist. Always, I exist. This avastha, this shariram, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti is for the body and the mind. But I am not finished with that. That's the proof that in Sushupti I existed. So I continue to exist in all situations. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, all three states I am existing. So I must exist. Similarly, after death also, I continue to exist. That is what that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is saying. So this one important point, Krishna began with that in the Bhagavad Gita with one very important verse. And Krishna wants us to take that verse wholeheartedly and to analyze and scrutinize it as best as you can in your own mind and come, and that is the logic Krishna is presenting to us. So many places Krishna will say these things, but here in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given that verse a very, very strong, important stress on that verse. He says to Arjuna, if you accept this, what I am saying, but through your logic and reasoning, whichever way it is, because I can tell you all these things, if you accept this, then you cannot question me anymore about any of these things. Because the truth is that. That is what the knowledge in the Upanishads means, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also. It is that verse in the second chapter. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorave drishtoandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. Krishna says, try to understand this to Arjuna. Nasade, we read Bhagavad Gita just like a novel, isn't it? And pass on, verse after verse. We chant all the 900 verses on the Gita Jayanti, we have done our bit. But what is written in there, nothing strikes into the head. Na sade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sadaha, ubhayor abhidrishtvandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. Krishna says, those who have realized the truth, he uses that word, tattva darshibhi, those who have realized the truth, they have given this firm conclusion on that. What is that? Nasade vidyade bhavo. Try to understand this, he said. What has got permanent existence, it cannot be taken away from that. Something which is permanent, it will stay permanent. What is that thing? The soul. The soul is the only thing that is permanent, and it will remain permanent. Because Krishna thought that Arjuna may not have understood, he gave the other supporting verses to tell Arjuna that it cannot be burned, it cannot be moistened, it cannot be by the wind, it cannot dry up. So many things he said, all that's corollary to this verse. But the truth, what Krishna wanted to say is in this verse, Nasade vidyade bhavo. Because its existence, the truth is a truth, that which doesn't change, eternally exists, and that is the soul. Na bhavo vidyade satha, which is not permanent, it cannot be made permanent. That's also interesting. That for matter, you may do everything you can for the matter, or for the body, or for the mind, it can never become permanent. If this truth is realized within oneself, Krishna says, Ubhayorabhi drishtvandam sthanayor tattvadarshivi. Tattvadarshivi means one who has realized this truth, they have given this as the very basis of self-realization. This is how one should start realizing the self. Now, even after repeating this verse millions of times, still we will think about it. Is this all true? As soon as I look outside, I find all the buildings are still there. The lake is still there. River is still flowing. So my mind starts thinking in a different direction. We start thinking that I have come to this world, and when I came, all these things were existing. When I'm leaving this world, these things are still existing here. So how does it mean? That means Krishna is not right. These things are permanent. I am not permanent. This is how we conclude about that, isn't it? The ordinary person's mind. That's why that ignorance has to be taken out from us first. This very basic ignorance in us is this. That they are all permanent. We are temporary. Krishna is saying we are permanent. They are temporary. See that verse? Nasade vidyade bhavo. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorabhi drishtvandam sthanayor tattvadarshivi. This tattvadarshivi, realized soul, have come to this conclusion. And it is their, they have, it is their conclusion, and it cannot be changed. It is the permanent solution to this is knowledge. This is what is called knowledge. And what do? We go to all universities, study all the temporary things and research on that to find the permanent thing. But permanent thing you won't find in that way. Permanent thing is permanently existing. You don't have to research for that. You have to accept it from the Shastra, what Shastra says about that. Otherwise you can't go further from there. Even science has not even reached this stage yet. Imagine that. They have not even reached this stage yet. They are still fiddling with the material nature and still thinking that there is some truth somewhere else hiding. The truth is there. Yes. But that Krishna is playing with the truth. You know, like the children, when they play, they sometimes young children, they tie some cloth on their eyes, isn't it? And they tell other children to, they tell him to find everybody else who is hiding. They go hiding. Children play. Krishna is playing like that with all of us. He is sitting in every one of us inside as a super soul and allowing us to, asking us to find the truth. Where I am. This is the reality. Krishna is in everyone as the Antaryami he is called, isn't it? So Antaryami he is inside and he is asking us to find him where he is. Exactly like the children play together to find each other. So that is Krishna's game. So you can't say anything about it. Why it is like that? It is like that. That the Ubhayorabhi drishtvandam sthanayor tattvadarshivi. The people who have realized the truth, they had already accepted this truth very completely. Then, so why, as I mentioned before, now you can probably understand why Upanishads are different. Upanishads are different. We are not asking someone to believe, accept something based on some promise after death. No, that may be there, may not be. That's another thing. Right now, everything based on logic, based on experience, and based on the Shastric injunctions. As far as Upanishads are concerned, there is only one truth. Truth cannot be two. If there is, because the definition of the truth itself is, like this, that truth means it is unlimited, isn't it? God is unlimited. Unlimited means, if there are two unlimited things, one will make the other one, say one is two infinite things, one will make the other one finite. Isn't it? So infinite thing can be only one, there cannot be two. So Upanishad's conclusion is like this, that that everything based on this Upanishad's realization, Upanishad's knowledge can be only one knowledge, and that is one reality, which Upanishads titled as our consciousness. Consciousness is what? The nature of the consciousness is the nature of the soul. In other words, it is eternal. That is the first qualification given to the consciousness. And what is the second one? It is pure. Consciousness is pure. It cannot be touched by anything. When we say Krishna consciousness means pure consciousness, freed from the modes of nature. That's Krishna consciousness. Then, what else is there? It is full of knowledge. That means it is not looking for anything more to add to it. It's already in the realized state. So it doesn't require any more addition to it. And the last one, it's by nature, it's liberated. It's free from any kinds of... in the Bhagavadam, when they define about liberation, have you looked at the liberation definitions in the Bhagavadam? It's not talking about going to Goloka Vrindavanam or Vaikuntham. Why? Because it says there, Mukti hit anyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. This is the definition in the Bhagavadam for Mukti, liberation. When you have come to your swarupam, in your true spiritual form, spiritual nature, or if you have realized the self, that is known as Mukti. You are liberated. Now, this Mukti, what is spoken here, Mukti hi tanyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti, that Mukti in the Srimad Bhagavadam, you will see that it is stuck to that definition very seriously in all the other different places where liberation is spoken about. Nowhere in the Bhagavadam you will find there is any reference to Goloka Vrindavanam or Vaikuntham mentioned as a goal, final destination. They spoke while referring to Kumaras, four Kumaras in the third canto, you will find they went to the Vaikuntha planet. Those things are spoken. No doubt about that. Vaikuntham exists, Golokam exists. But Upanishad's way of defining this is that unless we come to this platform of liberated state from here, Vaikuntham and Golokam will all remain as a something which is not beyond our comprehension. It will be very difficult for us to comprehend that completely in our limited mind and intelligence. We cannot understand it. There will be so many questions will come about Goloka Vrindavanam, about Vaikuntham. Why? Because we don't have that spiritual growth in us to realize that. That's why it is spoken like that. So, Mukti hit anyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That anyadharupa means all other illusions what we have developed within us, and we give up all that and come to our original form as spirit soul, and in that realized state, that is known as Mukti. Or in other words, in another definition, it is mentioned, if you look into Krishabhadev's story, you will find this there. Actually there is a lot of misunderstanding about various things when we read Srimad Bhagavatam. A person, he takes Bhagavatam and start reading, he will start understanding it things the way he understood things before. Like for example, I'm giving one or two things to think through. That when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we will think, oh, katha, we call it katha, isn't it? Katha. We keep hearing this katha, katha, katha all the time. And we start thinking, I've heard this katha before. And again, the same thing they are telling me. So what has happened to me? What has changed? This question will come, isn't it? This is not what actually katha means. We have misunderstood the word katha. Over a long period of time, what happens is the subtle points in spiritual life will all go, and our gross nature will overpower our understanding. It always happens like that. Our gross nature will overpower. Actually, if you want to understand how hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is, if you look into the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj was present and the four Kumaras came and instructed him about spiritual realization. Do you remember that? Prithu Maharaj spoke Prithu Maharaj was instructed by the four Kumaras, particularly Sananda Maharshi. Sanat Kumara Maharshi came and instructed him. So that time they asked Prithu Maharaj, what kind of boon do you want from us? Prithu Maharaj reply, if you look, you will see. He said, Vithalsa karnaida meshame vara. Give me 10,000 years so that we can hear about you, he said. Now somebody who have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for a long time, he'll think, with 2 years I've heard so many years now. And what has happened now is the same old thing. Somebody is saying, another one is repeating. What's so interesting about this? They will ask that question, isn't it? That's not what katha means. That's not what hearing Bhagavatam means. Please try to understand this. Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear, what Prithu Maharaj is saying there is, Mahattamandir, if you look at the verse line before that, Mahattamandir, when great personalities who have realized Krishna, they will not talk about that to others. They will not talk about it to others. This is their nature is like that. They will, that realization in that Krishna conscious state, they will be in blissful state of existence and fully realized state. And they won't talk about it to everyone, anyone and everyone, because they are enjoying that state of Krishna consciousness. Like our Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam, how does he say about this? Vilumangalam realization, if you want, in Krishna Karanamrutam, he will say, Upanishadartham ulughale nibaddham. There is a verse, the last line is like that. Upanishadartham ulughale nibaddham. The essence of all the Upanishad's knowledge, Mother Yashoda has tied it down to this mortar here. That's what he will say about that. The essence of all the Upanishad's knowledge, Vilumangalam says, I am seeing here, he is seeing. Remember that. Vilumangalam didn't live when Krishna was here. But he is seeing now that Mother Yashoda is tying, Mother Yashoda has tied Krishna, who is the essence of all Upanishads, into a mortar, and he is standing there. So don't go anywhere else looking for Upanishad's knowledge, he is telling everybody. Come to Vrindavanam and find him there. There he is. The Upanishads are standing there, tied down to the mortar. Vilumangalam saw like that. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj is also saying, all the great devotees, when they realize Krishna, they will not openly declare to everybody that I am realized Krishna. Now, take this from me. But if ever they speak about Krishna, there will be a flow of their realization from the speaker's heart to the person who is listening. That anubhuti, that bliss, what he is experiencing will flow from his heart to the person who is also seriously listening about it. And this flow is what he is saying here. Mahattamandar hridayam jachyuto jachyuto vidhalsva karnayudam eshame varaham. That when that flow is coming from somebody, let me have 10,000 years to relish that nectar when it's coming from someone. That's what that katha means. Hearing Bhagavatam is like that. That when we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam and all the realizations in the Bhagavatam is meant to develop this flow continuously From Srimad Bhagavatam to the speaker to the listener. In that way it circulates all the time. And when it starts circulating, what will happen? That is what Krishna is going to discuss in the next few verses. Because Vidhalsva Karnayidam Esham Evaraha. That nowadays what happens, Srimad Bhagavatam has become very much a professional business. It is developed in that way that a lot of things are done without the listener and the speaker not giving proper attention to the message that is important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, often what you find is that Bhagavatam has been used simply as a to wipe out your sinful reactions. Oh, I'll go and sit and listen Bhagavatam for a couple of hours. Let me get rid of some of my sinful reactions. In that way, that mood develops in a people's mind. But Bhagavatam, those who have taken seriously, who study Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously, they would not think like that. For them, Bhagavatam is a continuous flow of the nectar from the source to them. So that's what he is saying here, that that so Upanishads I talked about Upanishads so much so far. The reason for that is, please understand this, that the foundation on which this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, they're all talking about the same substance, and that is not subjected to your imagination. This is another important thing. It's not subject to your imagination. You can imagine anything. No, it is subject to your realization from there. What you have realized, that is the proof for that. Nothing more than that. So it says here that the you cannot touch that with your mind, with your intelligence. No, it is not possible to get this understanding from with your mind. It's not something based on the intelligence. Intelligence cannot transmit this anubhuti, this realizations through intelligence cannot transmit that. It goes from the heart to the heart of a person. That is how it's mentioned like that. So, we are talking about Upanishads. Now, Upanishads became so popular, what happened was, everybody started writing Upanishads. As usual, like everything else, isn't it? So many other Upanishads have come about. You will find there, because Upanishads' authority is so strong, that the way Upanishads present the truth front of you, it's not based on whether you are born as a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or anything. It has no value at all. In searching for the truth, that cannot have any significance, isn't it? Anybody who has that desire to realize the truth should be able to realize the truth. That's how Upanishads present that. So when they have presented like this, others thought that let's have some Upanishads in our own name. So they created one Upanishad in the fame of Lord Jesus Christ, and they wrote another. Some people have done this, and they wrote another Upanishad in the name of Prophet Muhammad. And Upanishads have come out like this in so many forms and so many shapes. And because the commentaries on the Upanishads by the great acharyas were very powerful, that it explicitly brings out the truth so powerfully, they also started using the acharya's name, saying that they have written the commentary on these Upanishads. That's also come about like that. So because of all these problems, knowing very well, out of the 108 Upanishads, originally acharyas knew these things will happen in due course. They were conscious of that. They know us well, more than we know them. So whatever people we are looking for an opportunity where we can write something, print and sell and make some money out of it, isn't it? That's what we are like. So knowing well our way of mentality, they did not want truth to get distorted anytime. So they picked these 10 major ones so that nobody can lay their hands on them. And they wrote such commentaries on them, no one successively were able to touch it or change it or alter it. And those commentaries are still prevailing. All the traditions, they study these major 10 Upanishads seriously, which is the Shruti, and plus additionally they study the Brahma Sutram and Bhagavad Gita also. So it is in this tradition what you find that Vedic philosophy has stayed in this world. Anytime those who were seriously searching for the truth, they went after that. Because it's not sectarian. It is a science of the soul, and soul is in everyone. Krishna is in everyone. And the nature of the soul, the soul's relationship with the mind, soul's relationship with the body, soul's relationship with the senses, and this world outside, and who is the power behind it. All these things are discussed in Upanishads. So it gives us a deeper understanding of it. And that is the way to go to self-realization. Once we realize the self, then everything becomes very much more easier. So having said that, here you'll notice there that whatever that was necessary from the Vedic literature, they have accepted it. For them, what is truth will remain as truth. It won't go from this world. You can convert people from one religion to another. Those things are going on in this world constantly, isn't it? You can increase your number, or you can reject religion completely, go away from religion altogether. That's all happening in this world. Many people reject religion completely and go away from that. Other people who are interested in increasing their number, they want to convert people into their way of religious life. All this is, from the Upanishad's point of view, is waste of time. It doesn't help. If you are searching after the truth, come to the words what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and take that as the process to go further. Because there you can't falter. There is logic there to support everything. When Krishna is talking, as he mentioned before itself, you can see in this word, in this chapter, chapter 10, that Krishna made us aware first our limitations, you know. He made us aware our limitations. What's that? He says, Anvikshada Vishuddhalma. First you have to become a little bit purer in your consciousness. Otherwise you will not understand this. Dehinam Mishayalpanam Guneshu Tattvadhyanena Sarvam Arambham Vibharyayam. He says, Sarvarambha Vibharyayam. As long as you can judge yourself where we are in the ladder. Where we are. That is the beauty of this. Krishna is telling us that Sarvarambha Vibharyayam, one who is serious about spiritual life, he will give up material endeavor completely and go in that direction for spiritual realization. Otherwise, it cannot be done. That is Krishna's point. And therefore, the process requires sacrifice. Process requires commitment, serious commitment. Otherwise, what will happen is that it will just go, but it will be on the surface. It won't go deeper. It's not possible. Because so many things Krishna has told us, Suptasya Vishaya Loka, all those verses are to enlighten us and to awaken us. That to come to the spiritual platform, you have to make these sacrifices in life. Otherwise, it cannot happen. That is Krishna's point. Spiritual will not be realized so long as we are on a material platform operating. We have to come to the spiritual platform. And therefore, all these things were spoken. So before we go into the next important topic, which we'll discuss next Sunday, that is where what happens when a disciple who has developed these spiritual qualities, what Krishna has spoken here, and what happened when a spiritual master who has that depth of realization in him, as we are talking about spiritual master, few things Krishna has mentioned. Madhabhijnam, first thing, that means a very deeper realization, complete realization of Krishna. Gurum Shandam. Shandam means not being carried away by anything in this world, because he is fixed on the truth. Where is the question of any movement? Our mind is always moving like this, isn't it? But a spiritual master's mind, which is moving, it gets disturbed, then it cannot be, it's not fixed up properly. That's what it means. Gurum Shandam Upasidam Madalmagam. So few things he has spoken already. A spiritual master's qualifications necessary, that he has to have this, that he should be fully self-realized. Krishna is saying there also later, you'll see that to have that, he should have studied this Shastram in depth. This is a very important point. Unless one studies this Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and Brahma Sutram thoroughly, and the associated literature like Srimad Bhagavatam in depth, he cannot get to that stage. This is the other difficulty. To get that stage of Madhabhijnam, to know Krishna well, this is necessary. This is the requirement. And all acharyas will say that. They will stress on that. Otherwise, why they were spending their hours and days and months and years in their life studying the Vedic literature, if it was that simple. They studied and they realized it. And they realized after that that the spirit, the truth is there in the Shastram, and it is not based on the body, it is the science of the soul. When they have realized that soul, so the knowledge is necessary, the realization is necessary. Two important things. The knowledge is necessary, the realization is necessary. What is the third thing? One more most important thing. Brahmani Uparataha. That he is always in that platform of spiritual life, spiritual platform. Never falls from that. Because if he falls from that, then he cannot stay in, lead somebody else into that. So these three things. Always full of knowledge of the Shastram, full realization of Krishna, and always Uparati. Never falling from that platform. These are the qualifications he has spoken. Krishna has spoken about that. In the Bhagavadam has a requirement for a person who has taken the position of a guru. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.